It's about the size of France, the diocese. Yeah. And we, as she said, it's a mixture of rural, tribal hunter-gatherers and professional people in the city. And so my role would be to pastor the pastors, I suppose.
And in the past, the SAMS, the South American Mission Society, was a bit more about, it started really with the English-speaking Argentinians, but now that's changed. I've been reading all your stuff over the years, and there's been a big emphasis now on growth, etc. That's been the focus of spreading out, hasn't it? It's been very exciting.
Yeah, the Anglican Church in northern Argentina is just over 100 years old, and it started with the tribal people. But in the cities around the coast, where there were chaplaincies and there was trade and railways and so on, it started with the English people. But now throughout South America, the Anglican Church is led by Latin American Spanish speakers or by indigenous speakers of their own languages.
Because you've been ordaining new bishops, haven't you?
Yes, we've just this year ordained 3 suffragan bishops, 2 Wichí and 1 Toba, which is a great advance for the local church.
So it's about localizing, indigenizing, and culturation, as the expression goes, because it's very much trying to make sure that the church belongs to the people.
Absolutely, yes. The role of mission partners today, like ourselves, is very much like scaffolding, which will come down and leave, hopefully, a strong building.
Right, but don't let the scaffolding come down now. Preach for us, brother.
Okay, thank you very much. First of all, may I say thank you very much for the welcome. You got the priority absolutely right in putting Catherine first. She has a wonderful ministry and is not just a great support, but a great partner in the ministry we're called to. And thank you for your interest and prayers. We've been coming here over many years, and we always enjoy the visit. There's probably not so many of you remember us now, but it's great to know that a number of you are praying for us and receive news and updates and also support us financially. So a big thank you, and I hope some of what we say today will encourage you to keep praying and supporting us in different ways. And as Catherine said, not only at the back of the hall at the church are there pieces of literature to pick up, but there's also a sale of craft work, little wooden carvings which the people we work with make, and there's a sale. So please pick up a few bargains this morning, and it will of course go to support the work as well. Now before I speak on the Bible passage, show a few pictures, I've got a 4-minute video which will hopefully put you in the picture of where we live and what we do. Thank you. that last sequence there, that is where we live. So that's where you can imagine the dogs get out during the night. Unfortunately, we had a break-in yesterday, but anyway, that's if we could move on to the PowerPoint, which goes with the... Here we are. Yes. So that gives you an idea that, perhaps intentionally, that's an awful lot of travelling around, an awful lot of meetings, and that is an awful lot what we do. And hopefully that's helped you to transport yourselves into a slightly different reality, which is the one we live in. But I'd like to invite you this morning to imagine you were being transported into a completely different dimension where, if we can have the first picture, where everything is bright and beautiful, where everything is true and just, where everything has a perfection to it. I'm waiting for the picture. There we are. I seem to have superimposed the picture on the words. Anyway, so not everything is perfect, but just want you to sense that there is more to life than what most people live on a day-to-day basis. So we move on to the next slide. This is actually what this passage talks about. 1 Corinthians 13 and 14 talk about being transported into the kingdom of God's dear Son through forgiveness, through redemption. And so we've been rescued, and we have actually been placed in a new place. We've been put in a new dimension where God reigns. And as we voluntarily live in the kingdom, we experience this new dimension, this new color, this new meaning. And I believe that being Christians in the church is about discovering how to live in the kingdom of God. We can have the next slide. Which is the forest where we live. As you saw from the opening sequence in that video, it's a vast expanse, and there are tracks through the trees that are roads. But you find a clearing like this one, which people have made in order to live safely. It's a clearing where they can be free from danger, they can see each other, they can develop their lives without having to worry about their enemies appearing from somewhere, or a wild animal, or trees falling on them, or whatever it might be. And then occasionally they will go out to hunt or to visit others. But the clearing is what gives the context and the safety to develop their lives. And I found that a very helpful illustration of the kingdom. The church is the space. The church is the clearing where we are privileged to be able to develop this new lifestyle, which is the kingdom of God, under Christ's leadership, under his control, willingly serving him, willingly recognizing his lordship, and all that he gives, the forgiveness, the love, the new relationships, the justice. And so in this context, it's not just about praying and singing and hearing the word, which of course it is, but it's about relationships above all, as we've heard with Amare. It's to do with forgiving one another and being forgiven and learning to love in practice. But it's also about what goes on in society. It's about demonstrating justice, demonstrating care of creation. There's all sorts of aspects to it as we go deeper. And the church provides the context where we can get going on that and we can demonstrate something new. And that is what, if you ask what the work of a bishop is, the bishop is trying to promote that wherever the church is in its local context, and has the privilege of seeing 150 churches trying to do this. And you have this context here where the issue is different, but the kingdom is the same. So if we can have the next picture. For this to happen, for the kingdom to be coming, to live in the kingdom as God's people, four things are going to happen according to this passage and are necessary: proclamation, people or personal relationships, prayer and perseverance. Four P's for you. First one, next slide please, is proclamation. The gospel has to be preached. There would be no church in Britain if Celtic missionaries, Roman missionaries, whoever they were, hadn't brought the gospel here, and if it hadn't continued to be preached down the ages. And the same way we are. 100 years ago, English missionaries went and proclaimed the gospel, and there was a response as the people, the Wichí, the Tobas, heard and understood about God's love and giving Jesus, save us from our sins and the response produced a change. So we can see the words that follow. In the next slide, this is from the Message version of the Bible, where Paul says, the message bears fruit and gets larger and stronger, just as it has in you. From the first day you heard and recognized the truth of what God's been doing, God is doing, you've been hungry for more. It's as vigorous in you now as when you learned it from our friend Epaphras, which is the next verse. But what Paul is saying is that what's been proclaimed has produced change, and it keeps growing. And so the people we work with, when they heard the gospel, they stopped fighting each other for a start. Peace came between tribes and other changes. People were able to leave behind certain addictions and vices because the gospel produced change. And it was heard of the other side of the world. There's been people in this church, I'm sure, and in many churches around Britain, praying for the people you've been seeing up there, the Wichí and the Chorotes, for years now, when probably people in their own country very often haven't heard of them. People here have heard because there's been a change produced. And that is what mission is all about. That's what the gospel is all about. Something changes in response to the proclamation. But it inevitably has to involve people, personal relationships. The gospel didn't just arrive on a boat or on a satellite dish. It arrived with people. People who laid down their lives in this country, in Argentina, and around the world. And it continues through personal relationships. It continues through the sharing of news like we're doing now, and your news coming to us, and us sharing with the people we're called to in South America. In this picture, you can see the ladies in the foreground are from Buenos Aires, and those in the background are from our diocese. There's a sharing going on. This was a parenting course, but it was a sharing going on between Christians in different places, and that's what the gospel, again, the kingdom, is all about. It's about personal relationships, and calls us to cross cultures. It may just be the difference between here and Dronfield or here and Bradford, but it might be the difference between here and North America or South America. And that's what God does. He moves his people around to enrich one another with the gospel and to learn from one another. And that's certainly been our experience. We've learned so much more than what we've taught, and that's what happens in the church. So the next slide will show you what the Message version says about it. You learned it from our friend and close associate Epaphras. He's one reliable worker for Christ. I could always depend on him. He's the one who told us how thoroughly love had been worked into your heart, into your lives by the Spirit. Epaphras brought the news. Today we've got all sorts of ways of communication, but it always involves people. Third point, prayer. We know what we've got to do. We know what God calls us to, but without prayer, we don't get very far. And it's certainly been our experience that to have people praying for us just makes the difference between life and death very often, and between not achieving anything and achieving a bit. And prayer is what unites us and is the fuel for all of this. So looking at what Paul says about prayer, these are the sorts of things, going to the next slide, these are the sorts of things that God wants us to pray for ourselves and for others, particularly that we would know what pleases God, we would know what he wants. And if we do that, understanding what God wants and the sort of things he wants to produce in our lives, then we can work towards that and find his strength in doing that. And a lot of that is to do with producing fruit, with work, with doing stuff in action, not just words. So while the gospel preaching brings the life, then we work as a result of that. And that's certainly true where we are, seeing the change in people's lives and the way people really, really work to share what they've discovered. I'm afraid the verse sort of runs out there, but you can see what it says. And then the fourth thing linked to all this is it's about perseverance. This isn't a sprint, it's a marathon. I mean, this is a sprint, but following the kingdom way of life in mission is about perseverance. I've been on the mission field about 40 years now, one place and another, and then we married 30 something years ago, and it's it in some ways it doesn't get any easier, but you do see over time trust produces relationships and fruit and so on. So don't be afraid of the long haul. Don't just think of it as a gap year. If God calls us, it's for the long haul. And there's a verse from the Message, the next one. We pray that you'll have the strength to stick it out over the long haul. Not the grim strength of gritting your teeth, but the glory strength God gives. It is strength that endures the unendurable and spills over into joy, thanking the Father who makes us strong enough to take part in everything bright and beautiful that he has for us. I love that paraphrase, really, that translation. But that's what Paul is talking about. It's not the grim strength, it's glory strength. I love that expression. Okay, and so what will this look like? That's what's needed for the gospel to be, in other words, to be living the kingdom through this space that the church clears. But what will result, what will come of that? And there's three points I just want to make quickly. Mission, incarnation, and unity. Getting a bit more theological now. The first one, I've shown you some feet there because Isaiah says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And mission is going out to do what God is doing in the world, what God sends us out to do in the world. So it might simply be acts of kindness and service. It might be involvement in the arts or politics. It might be gossiping with your neighbor. It might be preaching in public or writing. There's all sorts of areas, caring for creation. And we have privileged where we are to have a team of people who are doing all these things. So mission involves Bible translation. Mission involves saving the environment. Mission involves challenging injustice and fighting for human rights. And those are all things that we've got on the forefront of our... Together, of course, with preaching, teaching, healing, medical work. There's all sorts of things which we're privileged to share in where we are. And I'd like you to think as broadly as possible as you can of what mission would mean for you. We're all called. And it's no mistake that CMS now calls magazine. Call in action. What are you called to? We're called to mission. The second aspect is incarnation, what Simon was talking about being the church where we are, for the church to become more and more local, more and more national, produce leaders who speak the right language, know how to work in the right culture. We've had to do that with tribal people, with professional people in the city. You have to do that with people in High Green or wherever you live. And for the church to come, Jesus came to a specific place, culture, a specific language, and it took root. That's what incarnation means, taking on flesh, not just camping for a bit, but actually living in the neighborhood. But this automatically follows on to the next point, which is unity. We are to be local. And in our case, the church is developing very strongly in certain cultures and in certain ways. But we're also part of the world church. And so relationship with other cultures, with other denominations. And this is a picture of these two are Catholic missionaries who we work with. So I'm the bishop of the Anglican Church. We work very closely with the Pentecostals and with the Catholics. And we learn a lot from them. And they hopefully learn something from us. And that's God's wisdom, the many-faceted wisdom of God, to bring people together who are totally different, who have different traditions, different languages, different cultures. But together, we show the beauty of God's church. Unfortunately, there's very often division and disagreement. And that happens within our own church, between cultures and between traditions. But ultimately, I believe that is where God takes the church, because that is how he expresses his fullness, through the differences and the unity. So that sort of sums up what I wanted to say. Living in the kingdom, and there's a final picture, which I forget which verse this translates, but I love the idea of the sort of creative tension of keeping the lines tight. You know, the purpose in our lives comes from hope and truth. And it's a being tightly tied to our future in heaven. I love that image of what we do now being tied to what we hope in the future. We're called to live now in a way that pleases God, because that is our future. And we pray it in the Lord's Prayer, don't we? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, how? On earth and in heaven. How is God's will done in heaven? Perfectly. Because we know exactly what he wants. We love to do it, and it happens. How is God's will going to be done here? Perfectly, as committedly and joyfully. That way the kingdom comes. So we're back to where we started, with the kingdom coming through finding God's will and doing God's will, and I believe principally from the church in its clearing and out into the forest where we are called to serve. And so just a few thoughts to encourage, hopefully, and to show you what God is doing in our context, and hopefully to challenge you as to what God is doing in your context, because we're the same family and we love one another and we want to support and pray for one another. So shall we pray now? Heavenly Father, thank you for the kingdom. Thank you for sending Jesus to make it possible. And thank you for our shared experience where we are locally and where we are as a world family. And we pray that you will help us to continue to respond to your call and keep that rope tight that links us to our hope of heaven. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
We'll pick up that theme about going to places.